وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your services for his glorious deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank, Mawlana Salim sahab. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we're going to give you and start off with an interesting story about philosophy in a jar. So a philosophy professor stood before his class and he had some items in front of him. So when class began, he picked up a large empty mayonnaise jar and he proceeded to fill it with rocks right to the top. So the rocks were about 2 inches in diameter. So then he asked the students if the jar was full. Because, I mean, the rocks were filled right till the top. So they agreed that it was. So the professor then picked up a box of pebbles and poured them into the jar. He shook the jar lightly, and the pebbles, of course, rolled into the open areas between the rocks. So the students laughed. They first said that it was full, but now he fitted in some pebbles in there. So he asked his students again if the jar was full. Now they agreed that yes, it was. So then the professor picked up a box of sand and he poured some sand into the jar. And he shook the jar a little bit and then the sand filled up the remaining space in between the rocks and the pebbles. Now the professor said, I want you to recognize that this is your life. The rocks are important things. Your faith, your belief, your family, your partner, your health, and your children. So anything that is so important to you that if it were lost, you would be nearly destroyed. So the pebbles are the other things in life that matter, but on a smaller scale. The pebbles represent things like your job, your house, your car, etc. Then he said, the sand is everything else, the small stuff. If you put the sand or the pebbles into the jar first, you know, the small stuff, you fill it up with sand, there is no room for the rocks. So now he gives the meaning that one can deduce from this physical demonstration of his. He says, the same goes for your life. If you spend all your energy and time on the small stuff, material things, you will never have room for the things that are truly most important, the bigger things in life. So pay attention to the things that are critical in your life. Offer your salah and other faraid, wajibat, other duties and responsibilities. Play with your siblings. Spend time with your parents. There will always be time to go to a friend, just like how the sand, the small particles fill the jar. The other things will fall into place in life. But give priority to those things that are important. So take care of the rocks first, Pebbles and sand will make their own place. So what we are doing today is we're giving a place to the pebbles and the sand, and we're forgetting the important things in life. We have clung on to material things, and we have forgotten the most important things in our lives. So we need to learn to prioritize, and inshallah, Al-Aziz, draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you have some witty responses from people as well. This is a small snippet of a beggar. He went to a rich man from Khurasan and asked for help. So this rich person was very, very arrogant. And he heard him say to his servant, this beggar heard this rich person say to his servant, he said, "O gold, say to gem, the precious stone, to say to jewel, to say to sapphire." Now he's using all expensive names here, yeah, things. To say to this beggar that we do not have anything. That's what the miser said. So the beggar raised his hands to the sky and he said, "Oh my Lord, say to Jibreel alayhi salam, to say to Israfil alayhi salam, to say to Mikael alayhi salam, to say to Israel alayhi salam, to say, take the soul of the miser." And that was just in passing a tit for tat response. Yeah, now he has a very, very interesting story on forbearance and patience. And this relates to Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So it was one afternoon, and usually there is an opportunity to have some qaylullah, a little nap in the afternoon. So at this latter period of Imam Abu Hanifa's life, his body had become somewhat heavy, causing him some difficulty in moving around. Also, his house was situated on a high ground with a fair number of steps to climb to reach the entrance. So this particular afternoon, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh had just climbed up the steps and entered his house, and he just sat down with the intention of lying down to rest when somebody called out to him from the bottom of the steps. He says, "I wish to ask you some questions. Please come down." So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh responded, came down, and he asked, "What is the question that you wish to know?" So the person replied, "Oh, just as you reached the last two or three steps, I forgot." So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh said, "It is of no consequence. When you remember, you may ask." And Imam Saab went back up the stairs. Just as Imam Saab was about to lie down to rest, so this person called out again. He says, "I've remembered. Come down." So Imam Saab climbed down again. He came down the stairs again. This time it was the same story again. The person said, "I had remembered, but just as you reached the last step, I forgot." So sometimes it was the last step that Imam Saab had reached. Sometimes it was the third or fourth step. But every time it was the same story that he had remembered, but he had forgotten again. In this way, he made Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh climb up and down the stairs six or seven times. Then finally, when Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh had climbed down and inquired, "What is your question?" So this person replied, "Yes, yes, now I remember, Imam Saab." So Imam Saab told him, "Go ahead and ask." So the person asked, "What is the taste of feces, the taste of excreta?" Now you can imagine what a ridiculous and stupid question he's asking. What sort of a response would you expect? You know, in a situation like that, if it was me or you, having walking up and down seven times and for the questioner to pose a question like this here, "What is a taste of feces, of excreta?" So let us pause for a moment. He wanted to know what feces tasted like. Is this a question to put to anybody? How much trouble and inconvenience did he not put Imam Saab to just to ask him this year? So however, with an even temperament, cool, and with steadfastness and a firm stance, Imam Saab responded very calmly And he said, it depends. What type of feces and excreta are you inquiring about? The taste of fresh feces or the taste of stale feces? So the person said, well, both. Tell me the taste of fresh feces, of excreta, and stale feces, stale excreta. So Imam Sam answered, the taste of fresh feces, of excreta, is sweet, whereas the taste of stale feces, excreta, is bitter. So then the person responded and he said, what? Did you taste each of them? Now you can imagine, after all the inconvenience, a silly and stupid question, and now he retorts by saying, did you taste them? So Imam Saab replied, there is no necessity for one to taste each one in order to determine these qualities. There are some signs and indications which will equally lead us to this conclusion. I have noticed that flies tend to settle on freshly passed feces, on freshly passed excreta. Flies are attracted by sweetness. So one can conclude that freshly passed feces may have a taste of little sweetness. So flies do not settle on stale feces, dried up. Bitterness repels flies. So again, one can conclude that stale feces are bitter. So the person said, what you have stated is absolutely correct. So Imam Saab in turn asked him, why do you say so? The person said, he explained, he says, I knew the answers beforehand. Then he explained further, we were a few people sitting together having a discussion, and the question came up, in this present age, who is the person with hilm and forbearance? So these people wanted to know who is the most accomplished in the quality of hilm and forbearance, of selflessness, of giving sacrifice, of undergoing personal inconvenience for the sake of others. So it was our unanimous opinion that it was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. I came specifically to put you to the test so that I could see for myself whether our unanimous opinion was correct or not. And it proved correct, the opinion in favor of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So such was the character of these great jurists in Islam, that they responded so many times for a futile question, and they never displayed any sort of anger. You know, these are the qualities that make great men. So we also must learn how to interact with others and not stoop so low and just become angry. Always give somebody a hearing. And sometimes we have to respond in a very, very nice way, you know, if we have to bring something to somebody's attention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us the importance or to inculcate, you know, may Allah give us a tawfiq to inculcate forbearance, hilm, and patience and taqwa in our lives. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.